We're starting today, Bechorot Yudalet, the top of the daf, at the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to talk about two different categories, okay? Animals that are sanctified Kedushat HaGuf, and animals that are sanctified Kedushat HaMin. Again, we've talked about this many times. Kedushat HaGuf is where the animal itself is sanctified, meaning it could be brought on the Mizbeach, so then it becomes sanctified Kedushat HaGuf, its body, which has a higher level of sanctity. Then if you dedicate something to the Beit HaMikdash, like, for example, an animal that can't be brought as a sacrifice, let's say a chaya, an undomesticated animal, or a bird that's not able to be sacrificed, or we're going to talk about a bal mum. Okay, something has a mum, it can't be sacrificed, so then only its value becomes sanctified. So we're going to distinguish between these two levels. Kol HaKodeshim, so now we're talking about Kodeshim in general. Any item that you sanctify to the Mikdash, an animal specifically, Shekadam Mum Kavua LeHekdeshan. Okay, we're going to talk about two stages of it having a mum. In this case, it had a mum before you designated it to be sanctified. So now what happens here? We're assuming that this is Kedushat Damim, because if you take, this is an animal that can't be sacrificed. So when you say, I'm dedicating this to the Mikdash and it already can't be a korban, it's obvious that it's only going to have the sanctity of Kedushat Damim. Now we're going to get into all the relevances of, well, if it's Kedushat Damim, then what does this mean? What are the ramifications? So if you take this animal that had a mum kavua, then you sanctified it, vinifdu, and then you redeemed it. So now you redeem it. What happens to the original animal? Since it was only Kedushat Damim, all the sanctity is removed from that animal. So they're chayavim bebechora. Okay, so number one, it's going to be a little easier once we see the flip side, which is Kedushat HaGuf. So you have to kind of, in order to understand this, you have to say, well, if it's Kedushat HaGuf, then there's no, if you dedicate an animal to the Mikdash, then there's no din of bechor. Okay, so if it gives birth to a bechor after that, after you sanctified it, there is no bechor. Why is that? Two possible reasons. Rashi and Chulin and Kuflamid says the reason is because ein kedusha chala al kedusha. It's already sanctified. So now, because remember, once you sanctify an animal, whatever's inside the animal, if there's a fetus inside, that becomes sanctified. So the kedusha bechor can't come and go on the kedusha of the fact that it's hektish. Tosfot gives a different answer and says, because Bechor is only a chiyuv, we saw this yesterday, on Yisrael. Yesterday we meant that eliminates a non-Jew, but it also eliminates if it belongs to the Beit HaMikdash. So once it belongs to the Beit HaMikdash, it belongs to the Beit HaMikdash. And then it's not belonging to Yisrael, no din of Bechor. But in this case, since this was only Kedushat Damim, therefore, if it gives birth, it's going to be chayav b'bechora. Ubematanot, and you're also chayav to give the zroa lechayayim in keva, like regular chulin. If you remember, matanot kuna, those three parts you give to the kohen, are not relevant in hektesh. But in this case, you already redeemed the hektesh, so again, it becomes chayav in matanot. Viyotzin lechulin, okay, also the bechor, this is only once you redeem it, right? Both these cases are once you redeem it. Okay, if you haven't yet redeemed it, then they still have Kedushat Damim, and then all it would be Patur from Bechor, because again, it belongs to the Hekdesh, it would, and Kedushat Chala Kedushah, and it would be Patur from Matanot, because that's not relevant for Hekdesh. So even though it's Kedushat Damim, it is Patur from those things, but as soon as you redeem it, it becomes 100% Chulin. Whereas, if you remember, and it's also important to, even though we haven't learned the second part, once you redeem Hekdesh, a Kedushat HaGuf, it still retains a certain level of sanctity. Okay, we'll get back to that. That's what we call Psulei HaMukdashim. We've seen this a bunch of times. Psulei HaMukdashim, and if you remember, the rabbi said that the psukim that talk about basar tava, if you want to eat basar, and you can only do it right, and then they discuss what you can do. They darshan, the rabbi said, those are talking about psulei HaMukdashim, and then they darshan all sorts of things from those psukim about what you can and can't do with psulei HaMukdashim, something that was sanctified, Kedushat HaGuf, becomes redeemed, it still retains a certain level of sanctity. So it would be easier if we learned the second part first, because this is all saying, all that just doesn't apply here. We don't know what all that is because we haven't learned it yet, although we have referenced it different times. Okay, so again, once you redeem the Kedushat Damim, it goes back to regular, it's Chayav B'Bechor, Matanot, Yotzim L'Chulin, Ligazez v'le'avim. This is another thing. Psulei mukdashim, you're not allowed to use the animals afterwards for shearing and for working because they still retain a certain level of sanctity. But kedushat tamim or chulin legamrei, no sanctity at all. Therefore, you can shear them, you can work with them. And the next thing also, vladan, once they give birth, their offspring, v'chalavan, and their milk, is mutar la'achar pidyonam, is also permitted after you redeem them. Okay? Again, before you redeem them, they're all sanctified, and therefore you can't. But once you redeem them, their milk and their vladot are allowed. Again, this is something that we're going to see in the other case. They're not going to be allowed. V'hashochtam b'chutz. By the way, if you read this fast, it kind of sounds funny. Vladam v'chalavam mutar la'achar pidyonan. V'hashochtan. Okay, it's got a whole nice ring to it, which maybe was intentional because you can write the. It's a whole literary thing going on there. V'hashochtam b'chutz patur. And what are we learning about shchutei chutz? You can't take something that was sanctified and sacrifice it outside the mikdash. But if it's chulin, of course you can. So again, if you shecht it outside, it's not going to be a problem. Ve'ein osin tmura. There's no laws of tmura. If you take this animal and you say, well, in place of this animal, I'm going to bring a different animal. Generally, we say, if it's ra'oy for the, right, if it can be sacrificed in the mizbeach, and then you say, instead of this animal, I'm going to switch it, you're not allowed to do that. But if you do, they both become sanctified. So here, we're going to say, it's not. The din of tmura doesn't apply. V'im meitu, what if they die before you did pidyon? Okay, so you have this animal that was a balmum, and it died. So after its death, yipadu, you're allowed to redeem it. Why would you think you couldn't redeem it? Well, okay, we're going to get to this later in the Gemara, but there's two reasons. A regular animal that dies, if it was sanctified, kedushat mizbeach, you can't redeem it. Why? Number one, if you remember we learned this, it needs what we call ha'amada v'ha'aracha. In order to redeem an animal, it has to be, and we're going to see, it's only an animal, this is kushat aguf, although we'll see, this is a root, this is a source for machloket, we're going to get to at the end of today's daf, whether this applies also in our case or not. Obviously, our mission takes a particular stand. It needs to be stood up and evaluated. Where did they get that from? The pasuk says, about a sacrifice, if you want to redeem it, ve'emidita be'ema lefnei kohen, ve'ericha kohen ota. You stand the animal up before the kohen, and then the Kohen evaluates it. Well, the Kohen can't evaluate if he can't stand up, according to the Pasuk, right? In this case, the animal's dead. The animal can't stand up. So, can't be evaluated. So, therefore, normally we'd say, if you can't stand it up, can't be evaluated. So, once it's dead, you can't do pidyon. But they're going to say, according to the Tan of our Mishnah, which we're going to see later, is Rabbi Shimon, is that this doesn't apply to Kedushat Damim. It only applies to actual things that could have been sacrificed. And the other reason is, when we said, I said before that those psukim that talk about basar ta'ava, if you want to eat basar, is talking about psulei mukdashim. There's a pasuk there and it says, it'll be for you to eat. So what do we learn? Only to eat, but not to, you can't redeem it for other purposes, if not for food purposes. So therefore, if you have something that was sanctified for the mizbeach and it now dies, well, at this point, once it's dead, you can't eat it because you can only eat it by shechting, and you didn't shecht it, it died. So in that case, the whole point of redeeming would be to eat it, and we can't redeem it to eat because it's dead, and therefore we don't allow pidyon. But again, that would only apply to psulei mukdashim, and this is not psulei mukdashim because it wasn't ra'oy to go on the mizbeach in the first place because it had a mum from the beginning. Okay, so that's our list. So all these things, it kind of becomes chulin once you redeem it. You can do gizah and avoda. You can eat the vladot. You can eat the milk that comes from them again after you redeemed it. Shchita chutz is exempt because it's chulin. It doesn't. There's no din of tmura. And if it dies before you redeem it, then yipadu. And from the beginning, we said it's chayav and bechora and matanot, which don't apply to things that are kedushat aguf. However, if you remember, now you have to go back to the very beginning of the Mishnah. We started out, and I said this is talking about kochim in general. Because remember, we're talking about bechor. Okay? Let's just review what bechor is. What's a bechor? A bechor is the firstborn animal of an animal, right? The firstborn. And it's only a behema tora, a kosher animal. And in other words, if it's non-kosher, then we have donkey. We dealt with all that. What are you supposed to do with it? You bring it to the Kohen. The Kohen has to sacrifice it. Okay, it has to be brought as a sacrifice unless it has a mum. It gets brought as a sacrifice. And then he and his sons and his whole family, right? Remember, there's all different things about who can eat what. Is it just the Kohanim Zecharim? Is it just he, his whole sons, and his whole family can eat it after it's sacrificed? They get to eat the meat. Okay, and obviously parts are burned in the Mizbeach, like in any sacrifice, but the other parts that can be eaten are eaten by the Kohen. If it has a mum, you still have to give it to the Kohen, but then he can treat it as chulin and he doesn't have to sacrifice it in the Beit HaMikdash. So now, there's an exception when it comes to chutz min ha-bechor v'ha-maser. Okay, bechor and maser that had a mum before they were born, let's say, or right, it's born with a mum, and then let's do Bechor, it's a little easier. It's born with a mum. Since it's a Bechor, it has Kedushat Bechor anyway. Even though it was born with a mum, it's going to have Kedushat Aguf on it. Okay? So that's going to have Kedushat Aguf, and it doesn't go in the first category, it's going to go now in the second category of the Mishnah. The second exception is Maaser Behema. Maaser Behema is you have to take the tenth of all your animals, and then you have to bring it and sacrifice it, and then you get to eat the meat from it. That tenth animal can even be a bad animal, meaning what's bad? A bal mum. Okay, because it says in the Pasuk, you can look at Rashi, chutz min ha-bechor v'ha-maser, skipping down a little, v'ha-maser k'tiv, lo yivaker bein tov l'ra. Okay, demashma bein tam u'bein bal mum kadosh. Tov tam, ra bal mum. Okay, that a tov must be a good animal, and a ra must be a bal mum. Okay, so therefore, we learn from that pasuk, the maaser behema applies even if it's a baal mum, which means it's going to have kedushat aguf. Okay, the difference between the bechor and the maaser in terms of kedushat aguf is, talked about this many times, the bechor is inherently kadosh, because as soon as it's born with sanctity. The maaser behema only becomes sanctified when you designate it as the tenth. Remember, you walk your sheep through and we count 10, and then the tenth one is going to be the maaser, and that becomes sanctified when you designate it as sanctified. But even if it's a baal mum, it becomes sanctified kedushat aguf, and therefore these two are exceptions to the rule, and they're all going to be part of the second category. Let's get to the second category now. V'chol shekadam hekdeshan et muman. What does that mean? First you sanctified it, then it became a baal mum. Okay, so here you had something that was kedushat aguf, then it became disqualified because it had a mum. But okay, so either kidam hekdeshan et mumam, or here's another example, mum over lehekdeshan. Let's say it started out with a mum, but it was a mum that was going to pass. Okay, which again, you can sanctify an animal, right? Let's say it has an injury, but the injury will heal, and it won't make it a baal mum. So let's say it had that mum, then you sanctified it. Ula'achar mikein olad lehemum kavua. Right, then down the road, after the hekdesh, after you sanctified it, it then had a mum kavua, which would disqualify it. So those cases, again, what do we say? That has kedushat aguf first. Then it became disqualified. That's what we call psulei mukdashim. So now, all the laws of psulei mukdashim are going to kick in. This should be easy, because we already discussed it in the resha. Vinifdu, now you redeem this psulei mukdashim. If you remember, you can only redeem something that's kedushat aguf once it has a mum. Remember all those cases we learned about a long time ago that you have to leave it to graze until it gets a mum, right? Let's say you have a chatat and the person who was supposed to bring the chatat dies and he already designated the animal, so the animal is kind of stuck. So you have to leave it to graze, and then there were different ones about what you did once you redeemed it. Anyway.
So what's the point of telling it's mum over?
It's just giving you another example. It is irrelevant. It's just giving you another example. So you shouldn't accidentally think if it had a mum over to begin with and then it developed a mum kavua, maybe you'd say it never really was worthy in the first place. Because what they're saying is if it had a mum over when you designated it, it's still 100% kedushat aguf. Don't think it's not. So, p'turim min ha-bechorah u'min ha-matanot. So, after you redeem it, these no longer can have a din of bechor or matanot, because it's still considered hekdesh. Even though you redeemed it, it still has a level of sanctity on it. Ve'einan yotzin l'chulin l'gazez v'le'aved. It doesn't become chulin 100% that you can shear them and work these animals that can't. Vladan v'chalavan asur. You can't use their vladot or their milk. La'achar pidyonan, even after you redeem them. Vashochtam b'chutz chayav, and you're chayav on shchutei chutz. If you sacrifice these outside the mikdash, you're going to be chayav. Ve'osid tmura, and if you swap them with another animal, it's going, the other one's going to be kadosh also, and the sanctity isn't removed from this one. Ve'imetu, and if they die before you do pidyon, now what are we going to do? It's going to be obvious. Yikavru. You have to bury them. There's nothing you can do. You can't redeem them at this point because they can't do hamadav haracha. Right? So, and because we said you can only redeem kochim for the purposes of eating them, and in this case you won't be able to eat them because it's already dead. So you have to bury them. Okay, Gemara is going to start off and say like this. Ta'ama dinifdu. Okay, let's go back to the first thing. Kol ha-kodashim shekadam mum kavu alekdesham v'nifdu. So if you have kedushat amim and you redeem it, chayavim v'bechora v'matanot. So now it sounds like ha-lo nifdu, if it wasn't redeemed, then, I said this when we learned the Mishnah, p'turim in ha-bechora min ha-matanot. While it's still hekdesh, it's going to be exempt if, let's say, a bechor was born from it, or you know, you took the matanot. Kasavar, he must be that the Tana the Mishnah holds, Kedushat damim madche min ha-bechora u'min ha-matanot. Okay, it sounds like from here that the Tana of this Mishnah holds that the Kedushat damim also pushes off, right, it exempts you from bechor and from matanot. You might have thought only Kedushat damim, only Kedushat aguf, only if it's sanctified by its, right, this is telling you, no, Kedushat damim also. It's just once you redeem them, they become chulin legamrei, and then they'll be part of these things. But while they're still sanctified, they won't be. V'yosin l'chulin, right? Then we said it's yosin l'chulin, right? Ligazez v'le'ave, v'ladam v'chalavan mutar. This is all after pidyonan. So again, the Gemara infers, ta'ama diniftu. Sounds like it's only because you redeemed it. Halo niftu, but if you took these animals that were, right, no longer were to go on the mizbeach, but, and you didn't redeem them yet, asire b'giza v'avoda. Right? It must be, you're at that point, they're still sanctified, kedushat damim, before you've redeemed them, they must not be allowed to be used for shearing and for work. Misayele l'Rabbi Elazar. This must support the statement of Rabbi Elazar. Damar kod shebedek habayit asurim b'giza v'avoda. Okay, so it sounds like this supports the statement of Rabbi Elazar, who says this explicitly. If you have anything that's kod shebedek habayit, because we're basically going to say that if you take this animal that had a mum to begin with, and you sanctify it, obviously it can't be sanctified to go on the mizbeach. It must be what we call, right, there's two types of kochim. There's kedushat mizbeach and there's kedushat bedek habayit. This splits into the two things we said before. Right? You can call them two different things. You call it kedushat mizbeach, which is also the same as saying kedushat haguf, because something that's inherently sanctified basically goes on the mizbeach. And then there's kodshe bedek habayit, right, which is things that the value of them goes to the mikdash, right? They're used for other things, and that's all sanctified kedushat damim. Okay, so they're just interchanging these terms. So here you see Rabbi Elazar says, kodshe bedek habayit asurim b'giza v'avodah, so that our Mishnah supports his statement. Amre, lo. So now they say, no, you don't have to necessarily equate these terms and say that our Mishnah, because it's talking about an animal that was sanctified when they had a mum, is kodshe bedek habayit. Right now, I just said we can equate these terms, right? Say kedushat mizbeach, right? Or kedushat, we can say kedushat aguf is kedushat mizbeach, and kedushat tamim is kodshe bedek habayit. But actually, not necessarily. You could say kedushat damim lamizbeach, hu demechalfe bekedushat aguf lamizbeach, gazru b'hu rabbanan, aval kodshe bedek habayit lo. Here we're talking about an animal that had a mum, but you sanctified it for the mizbeach. You didn't. You could have something kedushat damim that you sanctify for the mizbeach. Okay. So as we set it up a minute ago, as kedushat damim is equivalent to kodshe bedek habayit. Now it's true kodshe bedek habayit is kedushat damim, But you could have, right, if you talk about sets, so the set of Kodesh HaBeit HaKavayah can only be Kedushat Tamim. But you could have something that's Kedushat Tamim that's also Kedushat Mizbeach. How so? You could say, I'm giving this animal to be sacrificed. Now, it happens the animal's a Baal Mum. It can't be sacrificed. So what are you basically saying, though? I'm going to redeem it and buy with it something to bring on the Mizbeach. That's not called Kodesh HaBeit HaKavayah. So comes the Gemara to say that when Rabbi Elazar said Kodesh HaBeit HaKavayah or Asurim B'Gizah Avodah, no, it's Rabbi Elazar. It's supposed to be changed. If you look in the note in the Masoret HaShas, it says it should say Elazar. That's why I said Elazar. It's just again, according to the Masoret HaShas, it should be Elazar. It's fine. So now, Rabbi Elazar says Kodesh HaBeit HaKavayah Asurim B'Gizah Avodah. We assumed that that's just like our Mishnah. But now they say, no, our Mishnah could be only referring to animals that you sanctify for the Mizbeach, that weren't right away for the Mizbeach, that you're supposed to redeem and bring an animal in its stead. That, we could see, d'michalfei b'kedushat haguf l'mizbeach, and therefore gazer b'hor rabbana. We could see one confusing, in other words, what's really asur b'gizah v'avodah? Kedushat haguf, that's supposed to go on the Mizbeach. So now, you could say that maybe, according to Rabbi Elazar, he says Kedushat Tamim leMizbeach is going to be Mechalfei Begi. I'm sorry. The Tana of our Mishnah. The Tana of our Mishnah says, if you take this animal that's Baal Mum and you sanctify it for Mizbeach, what are we going to say? As long as you haven't redeemed it, it's Asur B'Gizah V'Avodah. Why? Maybe it's only Asur B'Gizah V'Avodah because we're worried you're going to confuse it with Kedushat Haguf that could Kedushat Mizbeach, and think that that's allowed to be used for Gizah V'Avodah. Therefore, we're going to forbid it even when it's Kedushat Damim. But we're only going to be concerned that you're going to confuse Kedushat Damim that are Kedushat Mizbeach with Kedushat Haguf that's Kedushat Mizbeach, right? With, let's take a Baal Mum that you sanctified for the Mizbeach, and a non-Baal Mum. Those you could see confusing. But if you sanctified it for Kodesh HaBeit HaKavayah, no one's going to think you're going to confuse that with that. And therefore, maybe there's no reason for the Gzera, and therefore our Mishnah, which assumes that if it's Kedushat Damim for Kedushat Mizbeach, we might confuse it, isn't necessarily going to say the same thing that Rabbi Elazar said, and therefore one can't assume that this supports what Rabbi Elazar said. Vladan v'chalavan mutar. Hechidami, what's the case of Vladan v'chalavan mutar? Ilema, we're really focusing on the Vlad here. Ilema di'i aber v'it yaled la'achar pidyonan. Let's say we're talking about the animal gets pregnant, then has a baby, after the whole process happens, after you already redeemed it. Well, that's pshita. Of course, chulin ninhu. Once we redeem this animal, we already said the animal's entirely chulin. So you wouldn't need the Mishnah to tell us, well, it's vlad is mutar once, in other words, again, the whole stage is going to be, when did it become a vlad? If it conceived and then gave birth, and everything happened after you redeemed it, then obviously it's not sanctified. So you wouldn't need the Mishnah to tell us that. Ela di'aver lifnei pidyonan ve'it yalid la'achar pidyonan. We're going to say what happened while the animal, again, what's our case? You took an animal that had a mum. You said, I'm sanctifying this for the Mizbeach, even though it can't be brought on the Mizbeach. At that moment, it's Hekdesh. At that moment, but it's only Hekdesh, Kedushat Tamim. Then it becomes pregnant. Then you redeem the animal, because that's the only thing you do with the animal, right? You can't bring it on the Mizbeach. You redeem the animal, then it gives birth. That's the case the Mishnah is telling us, the Vlad is Mutar. Even, what it's telling you is, even though it became pregnant while it was Hekdesh, since you already redeemed the animal, that includes whatever was inside it. Halifnei pidyonan. But now it seems to infer that if the animal was born before it was redeemed, what would be the case? Asire, we would consider that animal asur. Okay? So now, the question is this. Now you have a really interesting scenario. You had this animal that was a Baal Mum. It was still sanctified, you didn't redeem it yet, and it gave birth. Well, what do we say? The Vlad is asur. Now what do? So we want to redeem the Vlad, and we want to redeem the animal. The animal is easy to redeem because it has a Mum. But the offspring of the animal is born perfect. Right, it's not necessarily born Baal Mum just because its mother was a Baal Mum. So now the question is, Nifdim Tmimim or Ein Nifdim Tmimim? Can we redeem that offspring immediately without waiting for it to get a Mum? Or Do we have to wait, like we always have to wait, for an animal to get a mum in order to redeem it? It's a very good question, right?
Because sacrifice it.
Well, first of all, to make you sacrifice it, then you lose a lot of the animal. In other words, in theory, you should be able to redeem it and then get the animal back. So, and it's to say you have to sacrifice it is, that's like saying to be on the safe side, but we don't want to know to be on the safe side, we want to know the law.
The animal shehukdash already to the mizbeah, in theory.
Yeah, but it was hukdash in a way that, but remember, because it was hukdash, not kedushat aguf, if it was kedushat aguf, this animal would have kedushat aguf, but it was only kedushat damim. So it doesn't have kedushat aguf. Right, so now they're going to say, they're going to use a very interesting principle that we've seen before. Tashma, let's learn from this source. Hamatpis ba'alei mumim kvuim legabei mizbeach. If you, what's matpis? Matpis means you, in words, you say, I'm sanctifying this to the mikdash.
Designate
it in words. Abal mum kavua, meaning it's no good for the mizbeach, but you say it's going to be for the mizbeach. V'yaldu, and they had offspring, that's our case. Yimachru ve'ein srichim mum. You can sell them, and they don't need to have a mum. Why? You could have guessed this. Why? She'ein kedusha chala alehen, because they don't have kedushat aguf on them. She'lo yehe tafel chamor min ha'ikar. Since all of its sanctity came from an animal that was a baal mum, we can't give this animal greater sanctity than where it came from. So if we can immediately redeem the mother, we can obviously immediately redeem this. We're not going to make the din of this animal worse than where its kedusha came from. So now the Gemara says, this, now what's this basically saying? This is saying the mother was only kedushat damim. This is what you wanted to say, Naomi. You wanted to say maybe it has kedushat aguf because it was born to an animal that was sanctified. But the Gemara said, based on this source, this Tanaitic source, that what? If something's kedushat damim and it gives birth to something else, right? It can't have a higher status than that had. So therefore, if it's born from an animal that's problematic, right? We're basically going to say, if that animal was kedushat damim only, this is also only kedushat damim, which means you don't have to wait for it to get a mum. So now they say, aval, but if it was a case where hikdish zachar ledamav, let's say you sanctified, okay, now they're going to give it an opposite case. We've been talking all along about an animal that you sanctified for the mizbeach. Okay, remember before I said we could kind of be quick. Kedushat aguf, kedushat mizbeach, and kedushat damim, kedushat bet kabayit. But now we're kind of interchanging them. We said in theory you could take something that's kedushat damim and sanctify it for the mizbeach, which would mean what? Which would mean, right, let's say you take your baal mum and you say, I'm bringing this on the mizbeach. You obviously can't bring it on the mizbeach. So you have to redeem it for another animal. Take that money, redeem it for money. Take that money, buy a different animal and sacrifice that. But if you take a zachar, let's say we do the reverse. You tigdish zachar lidamav. Let's say you take an animal. Okay, here they're just giving an example of a male ram. That's the assumption that they mean zachar, a male ram. And you say, I'm sanctifying it for its value to the Beit HaMikdash. I'm sanctifying its value for the Mizbeach. It becomes kadosh kedushat haguf. Even though you said you're doing it for the value, since it itself is allowed to be sacrificed on the Mizbeach, as opposed to our case where it couldn't be sacrificed on the Mizbeach, since it itself can be sanctified in the Mizbeach, it's kadosh kedushat haguf. Okay? This has inherent sanctity, meaning you can't redeem that animal and take a different animal in its place. Even though you said lidamav, since you were bringing it to the Mizbeach, and you said its value for the Mizbeach, you can't, basically that's the case where you said kedushat damim, but since you said it was lamizbeach, it's going to be lamizbeach, and since that can be sacrificed on the mizbeach, you can't redeem that unless it has a mum. Okay, so they're basically saying this is kind of like a flip case of our case, where our case you said kedushat damim for the mizbeach, but it couldn't go on the mizbeach, and therefore it can be redeemed, and even its offspring. It's all kedushat damim. In this case, you said kedushat damim, but really, it ends up having sanctity of kedushat aguf.
I'm sorry, I'm still stuck on this.
Yeah.
If I have a baal mum, and I want it to be kedushat aguf, why isn't it just totally nullified because I'm saying something that's impossible? Like if I want to say a neder that can't exist, then it means I didn't say anything.
So first of all, in the cases we've seen, you didn't actually say you want to be kedushat aguf. You said you want to bring it on the mizbeach. Now you can say you want to bring a donkey on the mizbeach. You can do any of those statements because we assume this goes back to nederim. What do we assume that you meant? We assume that you knew that you can't bring a bomb boom on the mizbeach, because everybody knows that. Again, I don't know, but maybe you didn't know it had a boom. But the assumption is you wanted to dedicate something to the mizbeach. You weren't saying a nonsensical statement. You were saying, I want to give this to the mizbeach. Now, if it turns out you can't bring it on the mizbeach, then you give its value on the mizbeach. So we assume that what you meant was, I'm giving its value. Okay, we don't assume that your statement was, you know, yeah, exactly. And this supports Rava's statement to Amar Rava. Hikdish Sachar Ledamim Kadosh Kedushat HaGuf. Okay, and the fact that we said this now, is we assume this comes, this is, we say it, right? We kind of said it, and then we said, and this supports Rava's statement, who said the same thing. Hashochtam Bachutz Patur. So again, now we're going back to the Baal Mum case. You had something that was Kedushat Damim, you were going to bring on the Mizbeach, but you can't. So what do? You redeem it. Once you redeem it, the animal becomes chulin 100%. So if you shecht it outside the Mizbeach, you're going to be patur. Rabbi Elazar matne chayav. His version of the Mishnah said, if you shecht it outside, you're going to be chayav. Now, what does this mean? Right. How could that be? And they explained that what he meant was, it was in the case of bibamat yachid, that you wanted to sacrifice this in a bamat yachid. Okay, this is right, there were bamot, there were places you could sacrifice. Okay, we're going to read this now. Da'ama Rabbi Elazar, minayin lezoveach behema ba'alat mum bibamat yachid b'shad heter bamot shehu b'lo ta'aseh. Sh'ne'amar lo tizbach la'ashem elokecha shor v'seh. Okay, let's give some background. You remember there's a Mishkan in the time of the desert. After that, right, they end up with a Mishkan for a while. They go from place to place, right? And then they build a Beit HaMikdash, central Beit HaMikdash. And once the central Beit HaMikdash, you can't bring anything anywhere else. But before that, you were allowed to sacrifice in Bamot. There were two different kinds of Bamot. There was Bamat Zibor, which was in the Mishkan, for example. That was called a Bamat Zibor. Okay? Then there was Bamat Yachid, which is, right, there was the central one, but then, right, where lots of things were brought. If you remember, we learned certain things could be brought in some places, right? Certain things had to be done, the chavot had to be done, the bamat zibor, but other things could be brought, like voluntary offerings in the bamat yachid. If you remember, all throughout Malachim, there's the big mantra of, you know, were they sacrificing in the bamot, were they not? Because obviously in the time of Malachim already, there was the Beit HaMikdash, and then there was a sur bamot, but people continued to do it anyway. So now, what they want to say is, you might have thought that a Baal Mum, right, what did we say? You could sacrifice it outside. Of course, you could sacrifice it anywhere outside. But comes Rabbi Elazar and says, no. You're chayav dafka if you sacrifice it where? In a Bamat Yachid. Why? Because a Bamat Yachid, even though it's only a Bamat Yachid, it still has enough sanctity, because it's a Bama, a place where people bring sacrifices, that you can't bring a Baal Mum on a Bamat Yachid. Okay, so if the animal has a blemish, that's not even allowed to go in the bamot, okay? Because those are places for sacrifices. Those weren't places where if you just randomly wanted to eat meat, you would sacrifice, right? You would just shecht your animal and eat it. But here, bamot had a certain level of sanctity that you couldn't bring a mum. Where does he get this from the pasuk? So the pasuk says, first he quotes a pasuk in Dvarim Yud Zayin, pasuk Aleph. Lo tizbach la'ashem elokecha shur v'seh asher yeh b'mum kol davar ra. Okay, you cannot sacrifice a Baal Mum, which we assume where it means where? A Mizbeach, right? A regular Mizbeach. Now, the Gemara says now, Imei no inyan lebama gdola. Now, you can't say that that's referring to a bama gdola. Why? To the main temple or the main place of sacrificing. Why? Dichtiv, because that already appears in another pasuk. It already appears in Sefer Vayikra. In Sefer Vayikra, Perek Kafbet, Pasuk Kafbet, this is a classic, right? Things are mentioned twice. So there it says, Averet, O Shavur, O Charutz, O Yabelet, O Garav, O Yalefet, Lo Takrivu Ela Lashem, Vishel Lo Titnu Mehem, Al Mizbeach, Al Mizbeach Lashem. There it already says you can't bring a Baal Mum on the Mizbeach. So there it must be talking about a Bama Yachid. So we may know in Yan, the Bama Yachid, the Bama Gdola, Tineu in Yan, the Bama, right? Tineu in Yan, the Bama Yachid. Okay, so they say two psukim. One is obviously referring to, right? Two psukim say the same thing. You cannot sacrifice a Baal Mum. So the first one must have been talking about in the central location. Therefore, the second one must be talking about in a less central location. Okay, that seems pretty obvious. But now the Gemara is going to suggest another four things you could have done the Imei no Inyan about. Okay, and they're going to say, what do you mean Imei no Inyan the Bama No, you could have said, okay, so again, let's start where we started from. We were explaining Rabbi Elazar, who said, you're chayav if you're shochei pachutz. We meant chayav means not anywhere randomly, but if you did it in Bamat Yachid, you can't bring a balmun. And he learned it from the pasuk, because if it's not referring to Bamat Gdolan, it must be referring to Bamat Yachid. And now they say, we don't like your limud because we could suggest possible other things. And then each time they're going to reject it. Im Ema, why don't you say like this? Im Eino Inyan LeKodshim, okay, if that can't be referring to, you can't sacrifice a balmum, Kodshim, Tineu Inyan LeBechor, right? And that's Kodshim means a regular sacrifice. Right? Obviously it meant you can't bring a balmum as a regular sacrifice. But maybe the second mention is to say you can't even sacrifice a bechor balmum. Remember, what did we say about a bechor? Bechor is inherently sanctified from the rechem, right? As soon as it's born. Even if it's a balmum, it has sanctity. However, the path is different. If it's not a balmum, it gets sacrificed on the mizbech. If it's a balmum, it doesn't get sacrificed. So maybe they're going to say, maybe that's learned from this pasuk. If it has a mum, even if it's a bechor. Now, why would you need a separate pasuk for the bechor? Because salkadat achamina. Ho'il v'kadosh kashuhu balmum, likarev nami kashuhu balmum, kamash malan dilo. Right? Why wouldn't we say that pasuk is coming to teach you? You might have thought of bechor since it's already, we know it's sanctified no matter what, even if it's a balmum. So maybe you could actually bring it on the mizbech. Maybe that's an exception to the rule. Maybe the second pasuk is coming to teach you, no, not a bechor. So they say, you can't learn that from here because we have a different pasuk to learn that from. Amre bechor behed yektiv be. There's an explicit pasuk by bechor, so you don't need this ime no inyan to teach you that. Pisach oiver lotiz bechenu. Okay, from there we learn, okay, that's Dafka talking, the context there, that's in Dvarim Tevav Kafalef, ki ye bo mum, pisach oiver, kol mum bra, lotus b'chenu l'asham lokecha, that specific context there is bechor. So, okay, reject bechor. Second option, v'eima, imei no inyan l'kodshim, tenei inyan l'maser. Okay, so maybe you'd say, right, the first pasuk is referring to kodshim, the second pasuk is referring to maser behema. Maybe maser behema, you would have thought, could be sacrificed, even if it's a balmum. Why would you have thought that? Again, this goes back to something we saw earlier today. Disakadat achaminu, you would have thought, do you need a special, again, we have to explain each time why this wouldn't just be in the general kutchin. You might have thought this was an exception, and that's why the second pasuk is coming to exclude it. You might have thought, ho'il v'kadosh b'mumo, because even if it has a mum, what did we say? It still gets counted in the tem for maser behema. Dichtiv lo yivaker ben tov l'ra'al ben rav l'tov. Right? No matter what, you don't distinguish. You put all your animals to be counted for the ten. And therefore, nikarev nami b'mumeh. You might have thought it also gets sacrificed with a mum. Kamash malan dilo. Okay? So therefore, you would have thought maybe that's what the second pasuk is coming to. And again, in which case, it's not coming to exclude our case of bamat yachid. Right? Rabbi Elazar tried to say. So they say, lo. Not so. Why? Mas amre maser nami gamar havara havara mi bechor. There's a gzera sheva between havara, it says by bechor, and it says it also by maser. So we're going to learn from one to the other. Once we say bechor, you can't sacrifice the balmum, then we know maser, you can't sacrifice the balmum. Okay, third option. Ema tenei unyan l'tmurat kodshim. Maybe it means for tmura, that you can't sacrifice tmura on the mizbeach if it's a balmum. Okay, that you have it, and that there's no din of tamura. Desakadat tachamina ho'il ukudusha kashi ba'alat mum dichtiv lo yachlifenu v'lo yamiroto krevanami kashi ba'alat mum. Okay, you might have thought since it says lo yachlifenu v'lo yamiroto, there's a din of tamura by ba'al mum. One second, right? Because what did we say? There's no din of tamura once you redeem it, but if you haven't yet redeemed it, there's going to be a din of tamura. Just want to check one thing here. All right. What we mean here by tamura is, let's say you had a regular animal and you did a tamura. You said, instead of this animal, I want to bring a balat mum. Okay? You might have thought, right, it would be logical to say that doesn't even do anything because it's a bal mum. Okay? But it does, because the pasuk says, you really have to read the rest of the pasuk, that's the problem here. You have to read, the pasuk says, lo yachlifenu v'lo yamiroto, tov b'ra o ra b'tov. Again, what did we say ra and tov is? Balmum and non-balmum. So here it says you can't switch it even ra bitov, right? Which means you can't switch a bad one for a good one. Okay? So therefore, you learn from there that since, okay, so since it says you can't switch a bad one for a good one, what might you have thought? You might have thought, well then, hu tmurato kodesh, and what are you supposed to do with the tmura? You're supposed to sacrifice it. So maybe if you took a good animal, and you swapped it for a bad animal, you'd have to sacrifice the bad animal in the mizbeach anyway, even though it's a balmum. Kamash malan dilo. Okay, and therefore we need the simino inyan to teach us, oh no. But then they say, no. We already learned that from another place. Because amar kra, vahayahu utmurato. Mekish tmurato lo. Mahu balmum lo, af tmurato balmum lo. Okay, they say, what do you mean? It has sanctity just like the one you substituted it for. Which means what? That if the original one can't be sacrificed, it's a balmum, then obviously the tmura can't be sacrificed if it's a balmum. This whole concept that you maybe be able to put a balmum in the mizbeach is a crazy concept, because when we discussed balmum a long time ago, the whole thing is that this is a despicable thing to put on the mizbeach. We mentioned it a bunch of times in the Gemara that, you know, you would never think to even put a balmum on the mizbeach. So it's very interesting that they're even raising the possibility that maybe something would have enough sanctity that that would override the balmum. Obviously, they're rejecting all these possibilities, but it's interesting they're even thinking about it.
It's a very nice argument, because they're trying so hard to get the bechor in there. Like, they're trying to argue about what's more holy.
Right, exactly right. It's all talking about levels of holiness, like the Bechor, which is inherently sanctified. And what it's trying to show is, even though something has sanctity, doesn't necessarily mean that you can put it on the Mizbeach. Okay, Matkif la Rabbi Zeira, last question in this Mahalach. Eima tenei winyan levladot kodshim. How about the offspring of kodshim? Tesal kadat hachamina ho'ilu kudoshim kesheheim ba'alei mumin agav iman. You might have thought that since they're sanctified because of, since they're sanctified even when they're balei mumim, let's say an animal is born with a mum, but it's born to a mother that's already sanctified, it's going to have sanctity. So maybe you would think, since the mother could be sacrificed, maybe you would sacrifice the offspring also. Kamash malan dilo. So therefore, this would teach you not. So Amar Rava, again, we're going to reject it like all the others. We learn this from somewhere else. Bar Paska, Tana Deber Rabbi Yishmael. Already Tana Deber Rabbi Yishmael taught this from a different pasuk. Ditana. Ditana Deber Rabbi Yishmael. Rak Kodashecha Asher Yelecha Unidarecha. Okay, I have to read the rest of the pasuk. Tisa Uvata Lamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem. Only the Kodashim that you have and your Nidarim are you supposed to bring to the Beit HaMikdash. What does it mean, Rak Kodashecha? Elu HaTmurot. Okay, this means if you did a tmura, you have to bring it to the Beit HaMikdash. You've swapped, right, substitution. Asher yulach, elu havladot. It sounds actually like vladot. Asher yihi yulach, that will be born to you, almost sounds like. Those are vladot of kodshim. Unidarecha, now when it says nidarecha, we say, hi kishana katuv l'neder. Vladot are like a neder. Ma neder balmum lo, af hanenami balmum lo. Okay. Ve'ein osin tmura, my timer. Why is it not? Okay, now we're back to our Mishnah. Once you redeem the balmum that was problematic from the beginning, you redeem it for another animal. That does, right, you redeem it. Now you take it and say, well, in place of this animal, I'm putting a different animal. There's no validity to that, right? Because it's not sanctified anymore. My taima. De amakra lo yachlifenu velo yamir. Now, again, we have to go back to the continuation. Tov bira o rabatov. Now, what does it mean? Rabatov. Rabatov means don't switch a bad one for a good one, right? Now you think that would be obvious, right? But what would be less obvious, right? If you can't switch a bad one for a good one, then you obviously can't switch a good one for a bad one, okay? And you would assume what would be the obvious, that the pasuk wants to tell you don't put a bad one in place of a good one, right? That's what it's trying to tell you. But obviously, a good one for a bad one is a hashta rabatov amarta. Lo, tov bira mebaya, do you even need to say that? Ela, tov meikaro oset mura, ra meikaro eno oset mura. So they learn from here that what does it mean? Tov bira, when it says tov bira, it means tov, if it's tov at the outset, then it makes a tmura. But if it's ra from the outset, from the beginning, then there's no din of tmura at all. So they darshan it from that tov bira, that ra means If it's Rafa in the beginning, then there is no din of Tamura. And only Tov Meikaro is going to make. As the Tov Bira means Tov Meikaro, but not Rabi Ikaro. Okay, so we'll stop here for today. We'll pick up from the two dots tomorrow.